Blind Cool Tech, number 13, June 16th, 2005. We are interviewing Tristan Pierce today. She's a project leader in the Department of Educational Research at American Printing House for the Blind. And she's going to introduce herself, tell you a little bit about herself and the kind of projects she does. And she also has some pretty neat hobbies and extracurricular things I hope she'll talk to us about. Hi, Tristan.
Hi, Larry.
So what kind of cool projects are you working on these days that you can tell people about anyway?
Well, I mainly focus in two areas of product development. One is products to serve children with multiple disabilities who also have visual impairment. And the second area is physical fitness and recreation. And currently, we are getting ready, we hope this fall, early this fall, to release the new sensory learning kit. That's been a project in making for over 3 years, so we're excited to finally get that out. And that will serve anyone of 0 to 2 years old cognitive level who also has a visual impairment. It comes with assessment forms. And we will be doing trainings across the country on those. Author Millie Smith has agreed to participate in our national partnership that we have on trainings. So we're looking real forward to that. And I think our first one will be in November in New Mexico, if anyone is interested.
Okay.
And let's see.
And can you describe what this kit is like?
This kit, it is a revamping of a kit that was first created in 1978, and now we have added to it 3 switches which students with limited mobility skills can activate any electronic item that within their environment. So they could hit a switch, tap a switch, and it may turn on a lamp, it could turn on a vibrating pad, it could turn on the blender if they want to make pudding. It can turn on just about anything you plug into an outlet, because the kit also comes with what is called a power control unit. You plug, let's say, a fan. You're hot. You're going to plug a fan into the power control unit, and then one of the 3 switches that come with the kit, you plug that into the power control unit, and when you hit your switch, your fan will come on automatically, and the power control unit, you can program it so that your fan could remain on only as long as you hold the switch down, or you could program it so when you hit your switch once, the fan comes on. When you hit your switch a second time, the fan turns off. Or you can program it on a timer. It has a seconds timer and it has a minutes timer. So if you want to know, oh, I'm going to have that fan on for 5 minutes, you can just hit your switch once and forget about it, and it will automatically turn itself off in 5 minutes. And you can do that up to 60 minutes.
Is this a wireless switch, or how is...
No. The switch is, like I said, the switch has a cord that goes into the power control unit, and then the power control unit plugs into your outlet.
Oh, okay. I see.
Now, these aren't like infrared type switches.
Yeah.
We looked into that, but so many of those need such a close, direct, like a beeline right there, that it's very hard to situate, particularly with a lot of these users may be in wheelchairs, and so to get that direct beeline to the electronic device, the ones we've looked at in the market, they just didn't seem to work very well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds like it's been a lot of work and a lot of fun creating.
Yeah, it has been. It truly has been.
That's the one we're doing the HTML for you up here right
now.
Yeah,
right? Roger's doing that right now on the routines book. The kit has 2 different books. It has the guidebook with the assessment forms, and then it has the routines book to help teachers or parents create routines for the students and the learners.
Okay. And do we know when this will be available? And
we are shooting for the end of September.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a training, like I said, ready in November, so we really do hope to make that date.
Yep. All right. What other kind of projects?
Okay. Along the multiple disabilities mode. We also are working on expandable calendar boxes. These calendar boxes, they're made out of a closed cell foam, so they're soft but yet very durable. You can't tear them. You can attach the individual boxes together so that you can, if a child is only doing one activity, you have one box. If the child is ready to learn about this is now and this is what's going to happen next, so that they learn anticipation, you can attach two boxes together. After the child has conquered the concept of now and next, they can then move on to a third activity. You can attach a third box. So it's expandable as the child's needs grow. And if anyone's they're not familiar with using a calendar system, calendar systems were developed by Jan van Dyck in the Netherlands, and they were originally designed for students who were deafblind. Since then, studies have shown that they work effectively with students who have cognitive impairment besides maybe deafblind or just blindness. And with these calendar system, you take an actual object that will become your object cue. So let's say a can of juice or one of those little juice boxes will represent that's break time, that's when you get to have a snack. So in your calendar box, you would have a whole box of juice with this little attached straw to it. And after the learner learns that juice box means it's break time, I get to have a snack, you then take just a portion of that juice box, let's say maybe just the attached straw, because that's a very salient feature to the student, because they use the straw, it goes in their mouth to drink their juice. So then we use only the straw, and as the child then learns that straw means that it's break time, then you can attach the straw to a card. And on that card, you can write a label, either in large print or braille, that may say break time or juice time. And so eventually the child learns the literacy portion to go with the symbol. Now, not all students are going to be future braille readers or print readers, because these are for nonverbal students.
Okay.
But then eventually they can take those small symbols that they have now learned, as opposed to having to carry an entire juice box around with you. You now have a small little symbol that designates this is now break time. So we start off with that using our calendar boxes, and eventually when we're ready to make that juice box into a small symbol, we have another product that I've been developing with Karen Pope, our tactile graphics project leader, and that's Tactile Connections. And that is a kit where teachers and parents can build an entire library of tactile symbols for the students to communicate with.
And I think, at one time we were thinking about doing some software to go with that, too. Can you... You've got some pretty interesting things going on, like with those balls and the sensors.
Yeah. Like I said, I try to develop products that deal with physical fitness and recreation, keeping students healthy. And we now are working on three different balls. One is currently available for sale. One is on order and should be available for sale in the next couple months. And the third one is we're in the bidding process for manufacturing on it. The first ball that is already available for sale from APH is our little Revolution ball. It's a hard little plastic ball that has ball bearings on the inside, and it has a foam exoskeleton. So that foam exoskeleton allows children who may have cerebral palsy and can't grasp an entire ball, they're able to grab onto the little foam exoskeleton so they can grasp this ball, throw this ball. And what's great about this ball for a child who's totally blind is with a traditional bell ball, when the ball stops rolling, the sound is dead.
Yeah.
The ball drops to the bottom, the ball is dead. So how do you find it? So with a Revolution Sport Ball, That ball bearing continues to roll for about 20 seconds after the ball has stopped.
You know, I had one of those in my office.
It's underneath. I see it. It's under your... It's
there
right
it is.
Your
yeah.
Yeah, that little ball bearing ball will go for a good 20 seconds. So, 20 seconds is a long time.
In fact, you were talking about the exoskeleton. I noticed the other day that it also makes a great grabbing place for your guide dog.
That's why you have one in here, huh?
It is. Rebecca got it out of the cage the other day, and we were throwing
and
it.
And even though this particular ball, it makes some good noise.
And Jake's interested.
It was designed for the commercial market. The toy manufacturer that created it is no longer... producing this ball for the commercial market, so APH is now the sole seller vendor of this ball.
And how much is it?
That ball's only $5. It's a bargain by anybody's
sure
pocket.
It's a great ball for playing fetch with, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know that wasn't the intended purpose.
That's quite all right.
And the second ball is what now?
The second ball is called the Ribbit Ball, and again, this was created initially by a commercial vendor out there who actually designed it for a little boy named Jacob who has cerebral palsy and is blind. And the Ribbit Ball is a nylon ball that has foam ribs around it, and you blow up either a rubber balloon on the inside to expand it, or you insert a PVC, like beach ball type bladder on the inside to expand it.
Hmm.
So it's very lightweight, so children with CP can pick it up and throw it, or pass it to the kid in the next wheelchair, you know, with the ball. And the way we have changed this ball, we've worked with a company, and they are making custom-made balls just for APH so that we can sell these on quota. Is the ball comes in three sizes. The 18-inch ball will have red panels with yellow ribs. That's a 14-inch ball. 14-inch ball is red and yellow. The 18-inch ball is blue panels with yellow ribs. And then there is a massive 30-inch ball that has black panels and yellow ribs. So our balls are two-color, whereas the ones that they traditionally sell are three-color balls. And the reason we went with a two-color was to make them less complex. A lot of our children do better if they don't have a whole lot of complexity to have to look at and try to focus in on. So this way we have two-color balls that also designate their sizes. And another way we've made our ball different is... the balls are traditionally sewn with a rubber balloon bladder on the inside. And because the children with multiple disabilities, so many of them do have severe allergies, and the latex being one of those. So our balls will be sold with PVC beach ball bladders on the inside. So children do not have to worry about allergies when they play with these balls.
Okay.
Then the last ball we're working on, which we're very excited about, we've been working on it for about 3 years. We field tested it last summer at all the sports camps, and it's about a 7.5-inch foam ball that has an electronic device on the inside. It is has dual speakers, so it doesn't matter where the ball lands, at least one of the speakers is going to be up in the air. It's equally balanced because everything is in twos, so it rolls very true. This ball even has an excellent bounce. I'm going to say this ball bounces 24 to 36 inches high when you bounce it. It has a rechargeable battery on the inside, and it has two volumes, so you could call it a loud volume or a soft volume or an indoor volume, an outdoor volume. And we will be selling the ball in two sounds. You can either get like a sound that younger children seem to really like. It kind of mimics the sound that Tigger makes in Winnie the Pooh. It goes boinga, boinga, boinga. And then the other ball is more like your techno dance beat music, if anyone's familiar with that.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think older kids might like that one better. And the sounds are also two-tone sounds, so that children with hearing aids can hear the lower end of the sounds, because any of the other electronic balls on the market, the sounds were so high-pitched that the children with hearing aids couldn't hear them.
And do you know, do you have any estimation of when that one's supposed to be
available? No, I don't. Like I said, we're in the bidding process right now. So, I mean, I am looking at 2006 that it will be ready. Okay. I just don't know exactly when yet. We're in the process of producing prototype molds right now to see how well they will work in mass production. Because the prototypes we made for field testing, we made here at APH. And so we need to be able to mass produce them a little more efficiently.
Okay. And let's see, you got some other projects you can talk about too, don't you?
Yeah, one project that I'm very excited about is Going Places. I have been working with Dr. Lauren Lieberman up at SUNY Brockport. She's the founder and director of Camp Abilities, which is a camp designed specifically for teens who have visual impairment and deaf blindness. And then Dr. Scott Modell, he's a kinesiologist out at California. He is the founder and director of Wave Camp and Camp Cool. Of course, Wave Camp is in the summer and it's all water sports, and Camp Cool is a winter camp that deals with snow sports. And then Dr. Paul Ponchilia up at Western Michigan University, who is the creator and writer of the Department of Education grant that established the sports education camps across the country for the blind and visually impaired. So working with them on this project has been very exciting, and we field tested this past school year. We gave students a pre-test to find out what they knew about sports in their local communities, how they could access them, what they knew about nutrition, what they knew about safety and self-advocacy. And then we gave them the books, and the book has a lot of charts that they fill out in them, and has a lot of appendices to talk about, you know, proper nutrition and self-advocacy, and it introduces them to so many sports that are available in local communities, and it discusses adaptations and modifications that can be done. And we also give them all kinds of websites and resources that they can access to learn about these sports, and if there's actually teams around the country that they could join. Even after they're out of school and they want to be an adult, you know, maybe they want to join the National Beat Baseball Association, you know, or something.
Yeah, that sounds...
And, I mean, we even located a power wheelchair soccer organization that's nationwide. Yeah, and so... after the kids read the book, they at the end of each chapter, they took a chapter quiz so that we could compare if they were gaining knowledge from the book and compare it to their pretest. And I have to tell you, we had kids who scored in the 50s and 60s on the pretest that went up to the 80s and the 90s on their post-test. So that was really exciting. And we hope to have that book available for sale in early 2006.
Okay. That does sound like an interesting book. I'd like to read that,
really,
too.
This book has personal... We collected personal stories of... Our youngest is 11-year-old downhill skier who is deafblind. And the oldest is a 67-year-old hiker down in Florida. And these personal stories... I mean, we've got a girl ice skating. We have got a totally blind bobsledder.
Is that right?
Yeah, he bobsleds with his sister, and she's not the only one that drives. He drives too.
That does sound fascinating.
We have a sea kayaker. We have a fencer. We have a young woman who lost her eyesight at 19, had never fenced before in her life. She is now one of the best fencers in the country, and she has fenced against the Chinese Olympic team in Beijing.
Is that right?
Yeah. So we have a rollerblader in Minnesota. I mean, she got a special cane that's like several inches longer because of the height on the rollerblades. And she rollerblades all over the lakes in Minnesota.
Neat.
Yeah. So it's got some fascinating stories that I think will intrigue a lot of people and get them interested in saying, hey, I'd like to try that and do that also.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, weren't you working on a portable sound source at one time, too?
Yes. APH does produce a portable sound source right now. We sell it. We've had one since the early 70s, and it comes with a sound localization guidebook. But we felt that guidebook really needed to be updated, so we have completely revamped that book, including instructions on games you can play using the portable sound source and how you can use them again to do sports and athletics. The new portable sound source we're working on is probably a third of the size of the old one, so it's a lot more portable, definitely more lightweight, and that makes it more user-friendly with sports and athletics. And it will also, a big difference is it's push button, and the push buttons will be molded with tactile graphics, so anyone with a visual impairment can utilize it. Plus, the new sound source will have a remote control. And this, I think, will be a great advantage to, like, PE teachers who, you know, they strap that sound source up to the top of the basketball goal, and then at the end of class, they got to keep dragging the ladder out to get up there and turn the sound source off. So this way, you'll have a remote control, and you can turn that sound source off and on whenever you need.
Oh, neat.
And I think that will really, really help a lot out there.
Now, I don't know if you can talk about this one or not, but I know one project you were working on I was particularly interested in with the magnets.
Oh, yeah. Well,
can you say anything about that?
Well, we're still attempting to try to get that one up and going. There's been a problem with trying to get the smallness of the tiles to be die cut correctly without hitting the braille. But it's a portable type of math manipulative that would really aid non-braille reading school teachers in the public school system who find they have a blind student in their class one day, and this could really help them teach math concepts. All the students I've shown it to, like I've taken it up to Camp Abilities in New York and showed it to the kids up there, and they just absolutely love it. But like I said, we've gone as far away to Japan to try to get this product produced, and the braille is not a problem. BrailleCom has a wonderful system for producing the braille on the magnetic material. Our problem is die cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone out there listening to this has a great way of die cutting, just give me a call.
And that reminds me, can you give your email address?
Yes, T as in tango, P as in papa, IERCE at APH.org.
Okay. And just right quick, can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing over at KSB?
Oh, yeah. For those who don't know, the Kentucky School for the Blind is right next door to APH, so that's very convenient for us. And I go over there from January to May, and I help coach the swim team over there. I truly love it. I've done it for 5 years now, and I travel on weekends with the team. And I just, you know, yeah, the kids always thank you for helping them, but, you know, I get as much out of it as they do. I just love, you know, getting in the water with the kids and teaching someone to flip turn or dive or teaching someone just to swim, period. I've had a couple kids who, you know, never ever swam before, were somewhat scared of the water, and, you know, they're now swimming. So that's really
awesome.
Great to get to, get to help participate in. And, KSB has a wonderful, wonderful pool next door. It's a great facility. And I know we're really lucky to have it, because I've traveled to a lot of the other residential schools for the blind, and we have one of the best facilities in the country.
Oh, neat. Now, Tristan also, I don't know if you'd call this a hobby, but I think she does something really interesting at her house. And can you, and just to let you know, Tristan's a very attractive young lady, and she's really one who gets her hands in there and does it. And when she tells you about what she's doing with her house, you'll see what I mean.
Well, I'm just renovating it. It's an old house, over 100 years old, and that just requires having to repair old horsehair plaster, and I spend a lot of time on ladders, and I strip woodwork all the time. I strip floors. I renovated a two-story barn out back behind the house, and now I'm working on my house.
And you do all this yourself?
Yeah, well, I unless it's something so physical, I'm unable to lift it or whatever, and I do have a back problem, so I have to be careful about that now. But I've rented a drywall lift and hauled the drywall up to the ceiling, and yeah, until you've installed drywall on your ceiling. I have a nephew that I'm not sure is ever going to come to my house again for fear I'll put him to work.
That's a good way to keep the relatives away.
Yeah, but no, I've done a big brick Victorian that I now rent out, and then I do my little miniature Victorian on the barn. That's pretty much it. I do a lot of stripping, sanding, painting. That's about it, I guess.
Well, thank you so much, Tristan.
Well, and, my pleasure, Larry.
If any of you listening to this want to contact or leave a comment, you can leave a comment on our comment line at 206-984-9203. Thank you for listening to Blind Cool Tech number 13.